You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
This podcast episode is brought to you by Coors Light. These days, everything is go, go, go. It's nonstop hustle all the time. Work. Friends, family, expect you to be on 24/7? Well, sometimes you just need to reach for a Coors Light because it's made to chill. Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged. It's as crisp and refreshing as the Colorado Rockies. It is literally made to chill. Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light in the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
This is Brandon Kelly, the host of Blue Wire's new podcast, Golden Goals. From Lionel Messi to Marta to Pele, our show takes a deep dive into soccer's superstars.
2-0, and he's... What a World Cup for Megan Rapinoe!
From Zlatan Ibrahimovic's brash confidence with the play to back it up, to Megan Rapinoe's heroic outspokenness and World Cup flair. Each episode examines a personality of the world's game. We'll dig into Maradona's Hand of God performance and subsequent downfall. The teenage trio at Dortmund that signaled the next generation of superstars. And that infamous headbutt that slung Zinedine Zidane from glory. Golden Goal. Soccer stars and the moments that made them. Premiering this summer on Blue Wire.
Blue Wire.
The Arizona Cardinals select Kyler Murray.
And the 2019 Offensive Rookie of the Year is
Kyler Murray.
This year's most valuable player, Lamar Jackson.
He is Houdini. Touchdown, Patrick Mahomes with a rope.
Chiefs are Super Bowl champions here in Miami.
All right, guys, welcome back to the Established Pass Podcast, presented by Clutch Points and our friends at Bet Online. I am your host, Blake Lovell. With me is my co-host, Dylan Reagan, and we are back for another fun, exciting edition of the podcast here, and we are basically going to be calling this the True or False edition of the podcast, because as we always say, Dylan, we're in that point where the 1st of July, normally we'd have a lot more to talk about right now. When it comes to the NFL, but mostly we're just trying to project whether or not there's going to be a season. One thing we do know is that on Wednesday afternoon, the preseason was cut a couple games. I don't think that's necessarily going to hurt anyone's feelings overall based on the preseason, but there's still a lot of questions when it comes to the NFL season, and we're going to try to do our best, as we so often try to do here on the podcast, make our projections and predictions on whether or not some of these statements we're going to read are going to be true or false. And Dylan, we've got quite a group here of statements that we're going to run through.
Yeah, I'll have to save this so that we can actually, as the season progresses, make sure we keep track of this. You know, we did a good job with our predictions for the actual season, and we'll do that again for the 2020 season a bit closer in terms of where teams will finish and all that stuff. But I think these are some pretty good scenarios, hopefully a few different things. And yeah, in terms of the preseason stuff, I don't think, first of all, anyone's going to miss the last preseason game. That game was pretty useless in terms of the players that we see in it. But yeah, it will be a bit of an adjustment. But I think two preseason games, maybe after this, will be, you know, franchises will be like, hey, this is probably actually the ideal number.
Yeah, we'll see. That wouldn't surprise me if we wind up with that going forward, no matter what. So we'll see. And I think, as someone pointed out, we'll get to him here in a minute, but how fitting is it that now Cam Newton's first preseason game with the Patriots will be in New England against the Panthers? How about that? So
there you go.
That's an interesting one. So there you go. All right, let's get into some of these true or false statements here. And as I was talking to Dylan before we started recording, this could be the dog episode of the podcast because I've currently got two dogs right beside me, and they tend to get a little rowdy because they want sports back too, and they get a little bored when they don't have any. So they're having some nice fun being a little rowdy over here, but we're going to try to see if they hold off for the majority of this podcast. All right, Dylan, here we go. Let's start. These are just in random order. We don't really have an order here. We just kind of put down a bunch of questions, statements that we're going to run through and think about some of these because they're interesting. And these aren't obvious ones. I think a lot of these are very, you know, more so you're probably going to have people that would go back and forth in terms of their response that they would have to some of these. And so we're going to start with one that I think is pretty juicy to start with here. And that is true or false. Jordan Love will start a meaningful game for the Packers because we had on our sheet as Jordan Love will start a game. We're not counting week 17, something like that. Let's say, you know, if the Packers have a first-round bye or something locked up, they throw him in to start. Let's say Jordan Love will start a meaningful game at some point during the season for the Packers.
Oh, you really jumped on the loophole that we had there. That's exactly the scenario I was thinking to say it for. And also outside of injury, I guess, like, yeah, if Aaron Rodgers gets hurt, then, yeah, Jordan Love will start some meaningful games. But if that's not the case, I'm going to say false. I don't think there's a way that Aaron Rodgers is playing at a level. This isn't like I'm just trying to think of maybe another scenario. Like Baker Mayfield, if he plays really poorly, maybe we see Case Keenum slotted in for a start or at least like a quarter or something just to kind of humble him a bit. I do not see the same scenario playing out with Green Bay. I think as long as Aaron Rodgers is healthy and the games matter, I think he'll be starting this year. I think Jordan Love, you know, more of a long-term, obviously, kind of situation here for the Packers. They're not anticipating Aaron Rodgers' career is going to wrap up really quickly. So, yeah, I'll go with false on this one. But you did ruin my one, the one part that maybe would have made me slide true, but I don't even know if I don't know if I think the Packers will be week 17 sitting with a bye or a one seed necessarily, so I was probably going to go false either way.
Yeah, that's what I was wondering. I didn't think so either, but I wanted to add that in because I thought it made it a little tougher maybe to make the choice. But I'm going to go false too on this one. I'm going to say that I'll go false and say that Aaron Rodgers, yeah, he gets the start the entire season. Obviously, we can't predict injuries, but that's something if we just go by what we know now in terms of talent, where they're at, yeah, we'll both go false here on that one. All right, the next one, another juicy one here. Antonio Brown will catch a touchdown pass in an NFL regular season game. How about that?
Oh, this one's a little bit tougher. I know there's the rumors surrounding the Ravens that have gone back and forth between them possibly being interested. I would have loved just for the headlines and the true encapsulation of a franchise mode of Madden coming into play. If he went to the Buccaneers with Tom Brady, that would have been just too on the nose. And then also the Seahawks, I know, have kind of been rumored a little bit. So I'll go just, you know, I that one game he played last year definitely showed up, and it looks, I feel like if he's on the field, he's going to be able to perform. So it's more of a question in my mind, not just of will he catch a touchdown pass, but will he actually play? Because I think if he plays a game, he's likely to score a touchdown pretty quickly. So I'll go with true. Because the storylines for it, obviously Cam is one of the leading comeback player of the year narratives already in place now. But we have AD there as well if he was able to make a roster. And I think there's a lot of time still between now and the season starting. So this could change a lot if things progress differently. But by all accounts, in his personal life and things, he's kind of taking the proper steps to kind of move on from some of the things that were happening before.
Yeah.
And I feel like NFL teams, because there's this gap between players that have had off-the-field issues that – this is just the reality of it, that if they're not, you know, a top-tier player, maybe they're not going to get that shot. I think Antonio Brown still has enough in the tank, and his ability is still there, that if a team is convinced that's all behind him, they're going to take a shot on him, and it's probably, you know, for a deal maybe that's not really worth – or, sorry, that's probably lower than what he's really worth, what he can provide on the field. So I'll go with true on this one.
I'm going to go false, and the reason, although I would love to see it, because, look, we were the Antonio Brown podcast for, like, the first 3 weeks of our podcast's existence. I'm going to go false, though, because I wonder about the suspension, and I also, I don't know, I think there's more unknowns, but I would love to see him back on the field, back to the old, you know, AB that he used to be in terms of how he does on the field. I don't know. It's a tough one. Although I agree, I think that one's tougher to predict than the Jordan Love one. But I'm gonna go false, maybe just slightly. Although I'd like to see it. All right, this is another one that I think's we're starting off with the heavy hitters here. Yes. Colin Kaepernick will join an NFL roster before the regular season.
Oh, just based on obviously things are a bit different right now. but I think based on historically from what we've seen, I'm going to go with false. Not that I feel like he should get a shot. I feel like he should have gotten a shot a long time ago, obviously. I do not buy into the narrative that he doesn't have enough to offer on the football field, given obviously, you know, early in his career, teams somewhat figured out what the Niners were doing with him and all the success he had early on in his career. And sure, his performance wasn't as high, but he's still, I have a hard time buying that in 2017, 18, 19, that he wasn't better than many of the backups on a lot of other rosters. So I am optimistic, maybe personally, that he's going to be on a roster at some point this season, but just historically, it's hard for me, based off what's happened the last few years, it's hard for me to say before the regular season we're going to see him on a team.
Oh, man, this is, I'd say of the three, I think this is the toughest one for me. Because
yeah.
I don't know. Like, it's tough on this one, and you're right. The thing is, I don't know, because I think I would probably lean more towards false, too, because of this reason. I think if it was a normal off season plus everything else that's going on. So let's say it's a normal off season. Teams can actually be on the field. They're having all these in-person things. I think I would feel better about him going into somewhere and probably finding his way onto a team. But now,
yeah.
I think it's so hard to project, you know, and we can, again, think about this. We talk about this every time. It's like we project that the NFL is going to have, you know, something before the start of the season. Teams are going to go through this. Everything's going to be fine. But, you know, as we're seeing things play out, I don't feel as confident about that as I did maybe a month ago. And so I think this is very interesting in terms of, I don't know. This is one I can't figure out, but all right. I'm going to go false too here. But that's,
yeah,
it's a tough one.
Would like to be proven wrong on this one. This is, yeah, it's just more of, I understand what you're saying. It's just hard based on everything to predict, and not like you're saying with the offseason being what it is and teams not, like, even with Cam Newton, from file accounts, him signing took much longer, and these conversations kind of started a couple months ago, but because of the situation where they can't really see the players, can't see them in person and the facility, all those things,
It
just adds another layer that's really tough.
Yeah, I don't know. I'll go false too. We'll see how it unfolds, but I just think in maybe a regular off season, I don't know, like minus the virus part of this, like I think it would probably be different because you would have maybe the normal part of the off season with, you know, I think you'd probably maybe have more teams bringing them in and all that kind of stuff. There may be more opportunities, but
what teams do you think make the most sense at this point? I was trying to think of that.
I know. It's like, I don't know if the Patriots were ever going to be one that made sense even before they signed Cam, but I know we talked like Anthony Lynn. I feel like he's one of the ones that is mentioned at some point in the off season, like they were at least going to consider bringing him in or something like that. But I don't know. You know, it's hard to tell, I guess. Like, I could see the Chargers being one. I mean, I know they just drafted Justin Herbert, but, you know, I mean, I think we're looking at this as though Tyrod Taylor is just going to just step in and, like, be this, you know, guy that can just take them through the entire season. But I don't know if that's necessarily the case. So I don't know that I'd be surprised if you bring somebody like Kaepernick in just to have a shot. And again, we're saying this before the regular season. So, I mean, you know, who's to say that maybe he comes in for the preseason and then gets cut? Like, I don't know. Like, there's lots of possibilities. And so,
That's true.
It's tough. I don't know. But we'll both go false. But like I said, this is a hard one, I think, to predict. So, all right, as a lot of these are. Maybe not this one. The Texans. The Texans will actually hire a general manager.
Yeah, I put this in because I just love kind of messing around about Bill O'Brien. I'm going to say false because, you know, if they were going to hire one, it probably would have happened by now. I think maybe the only way this is going to happen is if the Texans, like, start out really terribly. And I just, at this point, it's like, if there's no GM already, like, for all this time, is there going to be one when a Bill O'Brien is, you know, eventually maybe fired? That might be the only time that they'll actually trigger hiring a GM and a coach. Yeah. So I'll say, you know, I wrote down true here, but I meant to put false. I'm going to, at this point, I think they're at least going to let Bill O'Brien see out the season. As long as he's the coach, he's the acting GM, really, at this point, basically making all these moves himself, which whether that's a good thing or not, I think a lot of Texans fans, if you get their point of view, will tell you it is not.
Well, I hate to go. I mean, it's going to be my fourth false in a row here. I feel like I'm just all the hope of anyone that wants any of these to be true. I'm just, but this isn't. This is no chance. False. I think it's pretty easy here. The Texans. I'm sorry. We know where I stand on the Texans. We know where we both stand on the Texans. The AFC South is our brand here, but I just don't have a lot of faith in the Texans right now. So I'm going to say false on that one, which brings us to another interesting one here. The NFL will have no fans in the stands for the entirety of the season.
So, I mean, this one, kind of difficult to predict because it's based not just on what the teams obviously want to do, which is having fans in some capacity, but also obviously the COVID-19 cases spiking up again and things shutting down again many places. I think it's hard to predict by week, 16, 17 or later in the season. I guess I'll say false, and it's almost this one. I know you're saying you have all these falses. This is like a double negative makes a positive.
Yeah,
I'll say false because I see the entirety of the season. We didn't specify. I didn't write down regular season. I have a hard time imagining there won't be at least like some sort of separated group of fans at the Super Bowl. And maybe even some playoff games and late in the season. I feel like from at least on the college level, I've seen USC and then UCLA and some other schools are trying to have these like limited capacity games and they're figuring out how that'll work and all that. But I think there'll be some, I think they'll find a way to get some fans in the stands. Even in other countries, we've seen some limited capacity crowds. Obviously the cases and all those things are much lower in those places, but I'll just put this is more of a hopeful prediction that by the end of the season, we'll see some fans in the stands in some capacity.
Well, make it 5 for 5. I'm going to go false here on this one because I am with you. I think that at some point we are going to see fans in the stands. I don't know how many that's going to be, but because it's so hard to project out an entire, four-month season, basically, and not see any fans in the stands. I think even with everything that's going on, even with, talking about as many cases there are going up around the country right now, I just still think there's going to come a point where there are going to be people in the stands. And I know it's one of the things talking about waivers and all that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, listen, the NFL will go to that extent. If, to bring people in the stands, if you got to sign a waiver, sign a waiver. And you know how many people that will sign a waiver? A lot. Because they want to go in and watch a football game. And if they're, part of a smaller crowd, basically it's like, all right, great. Why not? So I just think it's a situation where there's probably going to be people in the stands. We're not health experts. We say that all the time now recently. But, I mean, it's just – it's one of those where I do think we're going to see some in there. And, again, we don't know how many. But I just – I don't think you're going to have just completely empty stadiums. So I'll go false on that one, too, because I just think it's one where it's hard to project out so many months ahead, but at the same time, you feel like maybe there's a point where somebody gets in the stands, is able to watch a game. But while there may not be any fans in the stands in NFL games here at some point in the season, what there is BetOnline, where you don't have to worry about going to a stadium and sitting in there to do your betting because you can do it all with our exclusive partners, BetOnline.ag, because they have no shortage of action going on over there. Sports slowly making their way back, and BetOnline is continuing to lead the way with the best odds and lines for all UFC, NASCAR, boxing, and soccer matches. Plus, if you need even more, they have the simulated NFL, NBA, and UFC simulations all day, every day, live on their website. If you're looking for something else other than sports, well, BetOnline's got you covered there, too, with hundreds of casino games, poker tournaments, and prop bets to check out. All you got to do is visit BetOnline.ag and use the promo code BLUEWIRE, all one word, BLUEWIRE, for a free welcome bonus. That is BetOnline, your online wagering expert. All right. Well, if people have already bet all of their money on some of these that we've made here on our true-false statements, we've got more. And we're going to go to the Chicago Bears for our next one. And that is Mitch Trubisky will start more games for the Bears this season than Nick Foles.
This might be the I know we said the Kaepernick one, so this might be the toughest one for me. Oh gosh, yeah. I see it kind of playing out in my head at least as a scenario where I don't see it playing out like one guy starts the first six games and someone else takes over for 10. I see it fluctuating throughout the season as both QBs struggle.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, that's I hope for their sake they don't, but. I will say, I guess I'll go with true, that Mitch will actually start more than Foles. And that maybe my interpretation would be different if Foles performed a little bit better in his limited Jacksonville action. But even when he came back, it was so brutal. And I know that the weapons there aren't great, but I have a feeling, Mitch has not performed all that well, obviously. But at least he's a little more durable and he's able to escape pressure a bit better. I don't know if Nick Foles, he's not the most mobile guy. And I think that might not bode well with some of the lack of weapons they have and their offensive line not being absolutely fantastic and the lack of a really good running game. I don't mean to just keep barreling down the Bears, but yeah, I'll go with Mitch just edging Foles out. Maybe we'll get a couple other starts from another quarterback even. Maybe it won't just be those two, but I'll go with true here.
Yeah, I'm with you. Like, I don't know about this one. Like, if you're a Bears fan, like, I don't know what you're thinking. If we answer true or false, I don't know what you're thinking. Because I don't know that you feel great about it maybe either way. Man. Should I just – I don't know. I'm just going to keep the false streak going. But – I think I'm going to go with you, and I'm going to say true. I think that, maybe with Nick Foles, like the injury situation, I know we said we can't project injuries and all that, but, it's one of those where maybe the Bears just put him out there and just let Trubisky, look, you got to try one more time. Like, this is it. Like, you get one more chance here, and maybe this is the opportunity for you to, earn your job, and maybe that pressure of adding Foles puts a little bit on him, and he knows the offense better. We know that at this point. So maybe because of this offseason,
yeah,
I don't know.
True.
So let's just go with that. I hate to end the false streak, but at the same time, look, it's just I don't have any confidence in this one, really. This is, like you said, it's one of the toughest ones. But I'll go true there, and we'll end the false streak with that one. Good news, the false streak going to be coming back on this one because this one is somebody not named Patrick Mahomes, Lamar Jackson, or Russell Wilson will win the NFL MVP award. I just told you my answer. I don't even have a second thought about it.
Yeah, I'm going to go with false as well. I think I'd like to believe maybe it'll be someone else contending. Considering where we were last year, there wasn't really a point in the preseason that many people were predicting Lamar Jackson to win MVP. So things can change quickly. But those three are kind of on this just other tier. I think Tom Brady has a shot if the Bucs finish in the top five offenses and he has a really, productive year with all their weapons and then the narrative added to it and, probably a lot of other seasons where he could have won MVP instead. That's the one guy I'm kind of thinking of here. I'm looking at the odds right now for other guys close, and I know Kyler's been kind of like that really big dark horse. That's a huge jump to say he's going to elevate beyond what Mahomes, Jackson, and Wilson all do. So, I'll stay false, but with the caveat that I think narrative-wise, Tom Brady has a chance to put up numbers that maybe aren't quite as good as those three, but because of the narrative, he could be the guy that would make this turn over the other way.
Yep, we're going to both go false on that one. That seems like one of the easiest ones we've had here on the list. The next one, the Atlanta Falcons will win more than 8 games. How about this? Because I think I'm going to pull this up real quick. Our friends bet online, let's see, the over 7.5 wins, minus 130 on bet online right now, the under 7.5 plus 100. So, the exact win total, 5-9 has the best odds, minus 200 here. So basically, we're thinking probably that 8-9 range here is what the betting odds are, at least right now. I don't know. I'm looking at their schedule, and I'm telling you, it's not easy. It's not easy. I feel like we probably went through their schedule when we did the burning question series. But I'll tell you this. Think about it. We won't go through the whole schedule here, but here's something you have to think about. Some of their road games, at the Cowboys, at the Packers, at the Vikings, at the Saints, at the Chiefs, at the Bucks. Like, that's six road games right there that they are going to be underdogs in, every single one of them, is my bet. So, you know, are they going to lose all of them? Maybe not. But at the same time, like, it ain't easy. And remember, that includes games they still have to play at home against the Saints, the Bucks. They've got the Broncos in there. You know, we've talked about the Broncos. They've got, you know, the Seahawks. So, I don't know. This is a tough one.
Yeah, I was looking through the schedule, too. They are tied for the fifth toughest schedule based on records last year. And it may – if you had said – if we had worded this as
– that's what I was going to say.
– win eight or more, then I'm like, okay, maybe I'll go with true for that, because I could see – I feel like 500 is a right – you set this, like, at the perfect spot. I know that you said the odds are kind of more – probably closer to 7.5, but maybe 8.5 is really that number that's like, man, you really can fluctuate. I would like to be optimistic. Obviously, if you've listened to some of the episodes last year, I was early in the season pretty optimistic about the Falcons. Quickly learned it was just going to be the same story, the same kind of disappointment we've grown accustomed to the last couple of seasons from Atlanta and their offense. I think they can rebound a bit on offense. I just don't trust their run, unless Todd Gurley is like really back to 2017 Todd Gurley, which is a lot to ask. Yeah. I don't know, man, and I don't know if the defense has improved enough. A schedule is probably the biggest thing. I'm going to go with false. You know, 6-7 wins maybe I'll go with, because, yeah, the fact that you have to face the Saints and Bucks each twice, now that the Bucks have their offense, obviously the defense was pretty underrated and really good last year, and you get the Cowboys and the Seahawks, and those having to face those as your two teams you face from the other division, that's just so brutal. And that was because, again, we talked about this, I think, when we went over the divisions, is because they won that last second game in week 17 in overtime against the Bucks.
Yeah,
it flipped those two kind of wild card games against the other divisions in the NFC. So having to face those two compared to two much lesser teams, that's just such a big swing. And yeah, the NFC North, by no, not an easy division by any means. The other AFC West teams too, just tough. So yeah, I'll go with false here.
Four of their last six games are against five of their last seven games are against the Saints, Bucks, and Chiefs. So, not going to be easy there on that one. So, we'll see. I don't know. I'm going to go false, too. I just think, like you said, if we just had the Falcons win at least eight games, I probably would have said, all right, maybe let's go true there. Eight games seems about right. But more than eight, that means they've got to go, you know, 9-7 or better. I can't probably bet on that right now. So, all right, the next one. Speaking of the Bucks, here's an interesting one, and I was looking at this and decided to add it because I thought it was kind of interesting when you look at where he's finished the past several years. Tom Brady will finish in the top five in the NFL in passing yards. Now, he was seventh in the league in 2019 last season, seventh in 2018. He was first in 2017. Better weapons, some of the best weapons he's had, but he's a year older too. So this is an interesting one. And I think it's, I don't know, like this is a hard one too, because a lot of it sometimes is based on the team you play on. And if they're winning a lot of games and not necessarily having to throw a lot, you know, sometimes that can affect overall passing yards too. So this is kind of a tough one.
Yeah. Based on the weapons they had, the fact he still finished seventh with, I know their offensive line in New England was good, but the fact
he finished seventh
last year,
yeah,
that's really impressive. Like you, for some of the reasons you mentioned, also because some of the top quarterbacks are not, especially Lamar Jackson, when you look at his numbers from last year, I'm not sure where he finished in total passing yards, but it probably wasn't insanely high because he just had so much usage on the ground, and his total yards obviously were insane. But
22nd.
There's that factor. Yeah, 22nd. There you go.
Yep.
And then, a lot of the lists and guys that get banged up and stuff. And Tom's obviously been able to stay on the field year after year. They obviously built up that offensive line better. They don't have the best rushing game, which is another part. I feel like even when they're winning, this is a team that's going to be relying on the short passing game to kind of maintain the ball, not just completely trying to run the ball like some of the times in New England in the past. So I will go with true. We'll get one of the trues in here. Only, I think, my third of the whole thing here. I'll go with, yeah, Tom, at least getting into that top five.
Top five last year was Jameis Winston, Dak Prescott, Jared Goff, Phillip Rivers, Matt Ryan, and then Russell Wilson was the other one that was ahead of Brady. So, yeah, that's and really he was the closest to Russell Wilson. Russell Wilson finished with 4,110. Tom finished with 4,057. Then Matt Ryan was, 300 or more yards better than Russell Wilson at 4,466. So, I'm going to go true, too. I think just because of the weapons, like we said, we don't expect Jameis to finish as the top. And here's the thing. Tom's taken over for Jameis, who, the same team. So Jameis was number one last year with 5,109 yards. And so Tom is now replacing him. So I'm not saying he's going to finish at the top, but you would think, law of averages, maybe still probably going to find a way to finish in the top five with those weapons. But then again, they were having to come from behind a lot because he threw a lot of interceptions. So I don't know.
We should calculate Jameis Winston's passing yards if you add return yards on picks last year and see what that comes out to.
Oh, man. I was trying to figure out a way to have a Jameis Winston question, but I guess he really didn't, I don't know. I guess
he made his way into the podcast on his own terms.
That works. But all right, we go from Tom and the Bucks and Jameis and the Bucks to the Patriots. And this one, which we talked about this in our previous episode, that was revolved around Cam Newton, which we'll get to him here in a second. Actually, we're going to do the Cam question right after this one. The Patriots will win the AFC East again.
Oh, gosh. I mean, just based on our last episode, I kind of talked about how I think the Cam Newton factor, like before he signed, I definitely was going to pick the Bills. They're in my mind, even if, there's a lot of time left. But they're the leader for sure. And now, yeah, for a division prediction this early, I mean, we'll see if anyone blames me if I switch it before the season starts based on what actually happens leading up to the year. But I will go with true, and I hate to do this, as you know, because I'm a – the Buffalo Bills are one of my unofficial teams on this podcast. I do have confidence they'll still be good enough to make the playoffs. I don't think, as you have seen in some places, people kind of think the Bills might have a 2018 Jaguars type season where they go from making the AFC title games to completely just bottom out. I just don't see that with Sean McDermott and that defense. I still have questions about the offense. I still think they're good enough to make the playoffs, but I think if Cam is going to tie into what I'm going to say in the next question. I think if Cam's able to stay on the field for most of the season, I just have a hard time with the Patriots' dominant defense. Still a pretty easy schedule overall, not too insanely difficult. I'll go with New England winning the division for the millionth time in a row.
All right, I'm going to change my mind too. I'm going to go true. I was all on the Bills bandwagon, but I don't know. I think there are still questions about the Bills' offense, even with Stephon Diggs there. And then the Patriots defense, how does that equal out? And I don't know. But then again,
it's excited for those games.
Yeah, it's like, are we underestimating the Tom Brady effect too? That he's not there, and I think that's another thing that you have to take into account. But when all else fails, I think you just default to the team that's proven it, and I think that's what you do here with the Patriots. And so we'll go with that. We're both going to say the Patriots are going to win the AFC East, but I'm sure we'll change our mind 30 times before the season starts. Speaking of that, next question, Cam Newton, we talked about in the previous episode and just a second ago. Cam Newton's going to start 10-plus games for the Patriots this season.
I'm going to go with true. Obviously, as someone who has not seen any medical information or is not professional in that anyways, all that taken into account here, I'm going to go with true just mostly because I want to see it. It's probably the biggest reason. As I kind of talked about in our last episode, I'm really excited to see what Josh McDaniels and Bill Belichick do with Cam in their offense. I think they're going to manage the hits, the load that he's going to be taking physically with the way that the game plan. And yeah, I've as much as, there were some, I think, AFC coach today, some coach in the division that said that, the Patriots are really high on Stidham and don't sleep on him still playing quite a few games. I just, at this point, with his very limited action. I think so much would have to progress. We have, and we've already kind of talked about how with the pandemic and the conditions that these teams are preparing for the season, and it really makes that even more difficult for a guy like Jarrett Stidham to get ready and all the reps he's going to need. So, yeah, I'll go with Cam starting 10-plus games. And even going back to 2018, I was surprised that he actually did start 14 games. I forgot that they really, even though his shoulder was just hanging by a thread, they really just kept him in those last four straight weeks where he just was not himself. So yeah, I'll go with him finding a way to get at least 11, probably 12, even more starts.
Yep, I'll go true. All we've talked about is how Belichick, you know, it seems like since he signed, we've revisited all the comments from Belichick, and it's like we forgot about those and really never paid attention to him because we never thought there was going to be a chance that Cam Newton would play for the Patriots. But I think you go back and look at everything Belichick's always said about him, and I think that's something where, you know, Patriots want to move towards a more mobile type of quarterback. They've got the guy there now, and, you know, like you said, they look at how many games he started not long ago. It feels like it's been forever. That's the thing. It's like it feels like it's been 5 years since Cam Newton.
Well,
you know, it's just, I don't know. It feels like one of those things, so.
One thing I think people, like this kind of injury-prone label has been here, but we kind of talked about how he just was getting hit for the first 5 years of his career twice as much as any other quarterback. And then you look until last season where he only started those first two games, he started at least 14 games every year of his career, despite all the hits he's taken. He's been insanely durable and fought through a ton of injuries. So, yeah, I think the narrative, like you said, it feels like it's been so long, but then you look at his, over the course of his career, 16 games, 16 starts, basically the whole list minus a couple misses here and there for minor injuries. So the man's been on the field for outside these two injuries the entire time.
Yeah, I think it just feels like that's if he's healthy, that he's gonna be on the field. So we'll both go true there on that one. All right, another quarterback theme. We've seemingly been on the quarterback theme here for a while, but listen, that's who we talk about, right? I think this one's kind of interesting, and we're going to also add this caveat too, the one we did earlier with Jordan Love, is we're going to say meaningful games. Marcus Mariota will start at least two meaningful games for the Raiders this season.
You had to add that caveat.
Yes,
oh my gosh, I was so ready to say it's true.
That's too easy. We're not making this easy here. It's got to be. Because here's what I think. I think that it's very – I'm going to say true. Because I think there could be situations where, you know, we know there's been frustration between John Gruden and Derek Carr before. We know Gruden talks him up, all this other stuff. But, like, if that offense isn't clicking, like, now they're in a situation where they have someone, I think, that they feel like they can put into the game. And, look, Mariota wasn't great for the Titans, but – you know, he's still probably at this point one of the better backups in the NFL when you think about it. So I don't think Gruden would be hesitant to pull Carr. And again, maybe it's a situation where Carr's the starter every single game, but yet, you know, we see Mariota come in at some point and maybe he doesn't wind up starting games. But I'm going to say there is a point where if the Raiders struggle, and if we're looking at that division, we've already said we think the Broncos are the team that are on the way up. The Chiefs are going to be the best team. The Chargers, we still don't know. We think the Raiders are going to be okay, but I don't really see the movement with the Raiders that I do with the Broncos. And so if they're in that middle of the road somewhere and they're just not getting better on offense, and I mean, look, I don't know. Like, I look at the Raiders, you know, they've got Ruggs now, they've got Josh Jacobs, but I think there's still something on offense that's missing. And I'm not saying Mariota's that guy. But at the same time, I think that there could very well be a situation where they get frustrated, maybe lose a couple games they shouldn't. They throw Mariota in there for a couple weeks. Maybe it works, maybe it doesn't. But I don't know that I necessarily see Derek Carr starting every game for him.
Oh, it's a tough one. I'm going to – mostly because we've, I think, only differed one time this entire time. I'm going to say false. I'm going to say Derek Carr finds a way to make it work, and I think – overall, over the course of the season, I think it's partially too. As much as I'm saying it's because I want to finally disagree with you, I also think that likely the first time Mariota sees the field will be in filling in for Derek Carr. So this is all kind of like one of the earlier ones, not including injuries. When you get two legit starts over Derek Carr, and I think he'll maybe at some point fill in for Derek if he's struggling. I just don't see the offense operating at a higher level than what Carr is able to provide. So that's probably why I'm going to go with false in terms. Maybe he'll get one start after that game that he fills in for Derek, but then it doesn't go well. Then he'll go back to Carr. So, yeah, I'll stick with false on this one.
All right. Well, we have to disagree at some point. So there you go. All right. This next one I find interesting, and I'm going to expand on this in a second. But all right. Here's the first one. It's, will all four teams from any one division make the playoffs? Because now they can technically do that.
Yeah, we've only seen a few in the past of three teams making it from a single division. I think the most recent one that comes to mind for me was the AFC South not that long ago. I think it was the Panthers, Falcons, and Saints. And they all played on wildcard weekend too, which is kind of crazy. The divisions that come to mind for me that could make this possible, just off the top of my head, maybe the NFC West if the Cardinals really take a jump. But the issue with this, I know I put this kind of just because it's finally possible, and I've always been interested by years where there's three playoff teams, like how strong some of these divisions are, just randomly are year to year. I have a hard time seeing no second place team from any other division making it, because that's what would have to happen, right? Like they'd own all three of the wildcard spots. So in the NFC, that means if every team from the West made it, that means the Bucks aren't making it, first of all.
Yeah.
The Vikings or the Packers aren't making it. And so just from there, it becomes really tough to pick one division. And then the AFC, maybe it's more possible there because of the variability of some of these divisions. In theory, the AFC South could be really average and someone could go 9-7 and win the division. The Chiefs could be easily the best AFC West team, and the Broncos and Chargers and Raiders don't live up to what we hope they can do. And then the same case in the AFC where one team kind of drives through between the Bills and Patriots, the other one isn't meeting up expectations. And then our grand AFC North, our lovely AFC North, and the Browns, you know, finally figured out maybe Joe Burrow replicate some of the success and they go 9-7 and eke their way in. So that's the only one I could possibly think could work both sides. But I'll go with, just because the odds are not in my favor, I'm going to go with false.
All right. So I'm going to go with false too on this one. But I think something that's interesting is, how about this? Let's maybe make this a little more interesting. Let's say, will three teams from either the NFC West or the NFC South make the playoffs?
I think I would say true
because I think there's a scenario where Rams, Seahawks, 49ers all make it, or Bucks, Saints, Falcons make it. So I think that's highly possible.
I could
possible.
See that. So the only thing, again, that – I mean, I guess the Packers didn't make the playoffs 2 years ago, but if that's the case on either side, that means that some combination of – let's say that it's the NFC South. That means some combination of the Seahawks, Vikings, and then whoever doesn't win the NFC East between the Eagles and Cowboys all aren't making it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I could – but I'll go with true on that one. I could see – maybe I'm just too optimistic about the Rams getting back to – I mean, they went 9-7 last year and didn't look great. If they can go 10-6, that should be enough. So maybe, yeah, the NFC West finds a way to get three. So I'll go true there.
Listen, I'm worried about the NFC North. I'm just saying that right now. Like,
yeah.
The Bears were that team last year. Everybody's like, oh, well, the Bears are going to make play. I'm like, we were like, we don't think they're going to make it. And so I can see that with the Packers or the Vikings this year. I'm just saying. Mm-hmm. So I don't know which one it's going to be. I'm not saying it's going to happen, but – I think it's possible. So, and I don't think the Bears are going to be very good. So, I don't know. But then again, it could be flipped. You could see the Vikings, the Packers, and the Bears maybe all make the playoffs. So maybe that's the division. So I don't know. NFC. Yeah. We've always talked about the NFC. It's much harder to figure out because I think you got a lot of teams that are very close together. Whereas in the AFC, like it feels like it's Chiefs, Ravens, everyone else. And so, like, I mean, even with the Titans, I'm sorry, Titans fans. I know you got to the AFC Championship game, but like, that's how it feels going into the season. So, I don't know. Like, it's just one of those things. And maybe the Patriots. Like, now, maybe the Patriots are back in that conversation. So, I don't know. But we'll see. All right, let's wrap up with this one because I think this is one that, you know, we build up to this one because it's kind of very important. And it probably determines everything else we've talked about up to this point, if you think about it. All right, the NFL will play a full 16-game regular season.
Oh, my gosh. Well, it is fitting on the day that we lower this to the two preseason games that we talk about this. And I know – I think they will because of the Well, at this point, we'll see, though, I guess. It might change a bit if there's major complications with the NBA, NHL, and MLB in there for the comebacks of the two seasons and the start of the other. If those have complications, that could push it back. I know they've, at least from when the schedule came out, one of the big kind of parts of it that made it work where this still would be the case is they built it in, and I think I said this on the podcast right at the time, they built it in so weeks 1, 2, 3, and 4 could literally be like chopped off the front of the schedule and thrown onto the back part in January and then push everything back. The season would start early October if they had to. But I think they're just going to start on time, and whether there's no fans and that's just the case, I think they're going to be able to fight through that. So all in some capacity, either them moving the schedule back like they built it in so they have that ability to do so, or keeping it the same and there being less fans. I'll go with true, and again, maybe this is just my own optimism and hope for the season, having a bit of a bias here, but even with other things happening, I feel like it's fairly reasonable. There's so much money on the line, too, for the NFL. Yeah. And it's not just fans in the stands. I know that has a huge impact on revenue for each game day and the impact there, but the TV money is just so massive. So I feel like they're going to find a way to get 16 games in.
Oh, boy. I don't know, man. I go back and forth on this, and I was reading something came out here about, like, South Carolina, for example. Of course, for SEC football, we know, I mean, it's something that, look, if there's a way to play football, SEC is going to play football. But, you know, you had the South Carolina governor coming out and saying there's not going to be any college or high school football games if these trends continue in terms of where the cases are now. And it's – my thing is, are those trends going to go up or down? Because the way I see it is, the hotter it gets, I think the more people are going to go out. And, you know, it's like I don't know, man. And it's like we said, and we say this, like, we're not medical experts, and we've said that, and it's impossible to predict. But I think what you said is important, too, and that is that there is a lot of money on the line, mm-hmm. and I don't know that they will not find a way to play these games. But I do think that the NBA restart is going to tell us a lot about where things go from here. And let's just be honest, the NBA restart isn't exactly going smoothly right now when it comes to what the initial expectations were and what it could look like now once they get started at the end of the month. But I will say true, but I'm telling you, I'm leaning much more towards false than I probably have before. And if you ask me, you know, a week from now, my answer
could
probably
change.
Yeah, because I'm not as confident anymore as I was before. And I don't know what that altered season looks like, but at the same time, my confidence level in there being a full season right now, whether you think there should be or not, that's completely irrelevant. I think it's just, is there going to be, period? You can have different thoughts on it one way or the other, whether they should play or what you think about everything going on. But at the same time, like, there's a lot of liability stuff that goes into this. And I don't know, man. It's going to be interesting for sure.
Yeah, and it's not like – I mean, for the NBA, this is kind of the case too in terms of the contact. But this isn't – as much as it still can be passed in baseball, at least there's some natural social distancing happening a little bit. With the nature of football and basketball in particular, it's just like these guys are right on top of each other. There's just no, I don't know, the testing is going to have to be in a place, and maybe by the time the NFL season starts, they have that extra advantage of a couple more months, and even now this 1 week of the preseason being cut off. Maybe by then these teams will be at least in a place where individually they can test to the point of where they feel confident quickly putting people on the field, knowing everyone that's down there does not have the virus. So that's going to play a big role. But, yeah, there are complications. There's already the stories coming out about teams possibly flying to games on the day of the game, which is just the most ridiculous thing I've heard. Like, I can't imagine, like, flying across the country and then playing an NFL football game, let alone playing an NFL football game in the first place.
No.
So, man, it's complicated. I think the money thing is what it's going to ultimately come down to. I think they'll find a way. But, like you said, the liabilities are out there, and I will say that at least for the NFL compared to college football, the amount of the fan part, I feel like, I mean, obviously the TV money in college football is still huge, but I feel like the importance of those game days to the revenues of those schools and those towns for a lot of college football teams, having fans in the stands means more than probably the NFL does to their overall bottom line at the end of the day. So the fact that they can go throughout a season and feel comfortable not having people at all, even though we said in some capacity we think they will find a way to get some fans in the stands, I do think that helps at least a bit. But again, yeah, the travel part, it's not like the MLB too, where they're segmenting it so that their schedules are only within, like, basically their regions for the most part.
Yeah.
There's not a ton of travel across country outside of some teams traveling to Texas for the West divisions. But, yeah, that's the one thing. The travel part for me is that's a complication they're going to have to figure out, and they're going to have to really have a really good plan in place to feel comfortable for these guys going to, you know, they can't be flying the day of the game. I saw that and I was like, how the heck is that going to possibly work? There's just, they have to figure out a way to get them, have a system where they fly in and they're, whether they're quarantined for how many days, whatever they have to do. I feel like they have to figure that out because that's just not going to work.
Yeah, I was thinking because we were looking earlier at the Falcons schedule. The Falcons play at the Chargers. Like, can you imagine that? Falcons going from there and playing in L.A. there on the same day. Like,
Seattle down to Atlanta.
Yeah,
right.
That's right. Yeah, so I forgot about that. Seattle goes to Atlanta week one.
That's
so, yeah.
Like, opposite corners of the country.
Wow. Yeah, so there you go. I don't know. But we both said true, but I think we both pretty much – look, I don't feel confident about that at all. So we'll see. But that's why we're not making those decisions, and that's why we are doing a podcast. But that will wrap up this episode of the podcast. A little bit longer one here, but we are going to be off for the, of course, the holiday. Nice 4th of July weekend. So no podcast next Monday. We will come back – or next Tuesday, right? I get my days mixed up.
Podcast Monday. We'll be back Wednesday.
Yeah. No podcast. We'll be back next week with our next episode of the podcast, so you guys get a little bit longer one here when it comes to heading into the holiday weekend. So if you're traveling, a few more minutes to listen to. But for everything else, we've got a lot of great stuff going on over at Clutch Points, Dylan, trying to figure out all of these restarts in various sports and trying to prepare for the start of the NFL season.
Yeah, you can read about the NFL at clutchpoints.com at the NFL section there. Still some things, even though less news, more so on the NBA side. Tons of stuff now coming out with a lot of the interviews of players that are starting to report back to their cities and eventually down to Orlando. So we got that all covered. You can also follow when those games finally happen for the NBA, MLB, and eventually the NFL in our Clutch Points app. Our podcast can be found both on the website and the app, and all of our NFL articles, all our NBA articles, everything can be also found in the app.
Yep, be sure to check that out. And if you're looking for a stat for the weekend, I'm going to throw this in real quick because there was a great stat thread going up on Twitter when it comes to ESPN's Peter Burns put out a great tweet. He was asking, what's your favorite random sports stat that blows your mind every time you see it? Field Yates, I think, had the winner. And that is the fact that Larry Fitzgerald, the Arizona Cardinals, has more career tackles, 40, than he does drops at 29. So there you go.
It's ridiculous.
That is insane. I just don't even know.
Let me throw one non-football one in that I just saw today. It was also ridiculous, but because we do have some baseball content here at Clutch Points, I saw that Greg Maddux has more wins in his career than 3-0 counts.
Wow. That's nuts. Like, that's – listen, you remember how great those Braves teams were? My goodness. And, of course, he he had a lot of wins. But, no, that Larry Fitzgerald one. If you're a football fan, think about that. Just think about that this weekend. Just sit there and be like, this guy has played this many seasons as a wide receiver, and he has more tackles than drops.
With the quarterbacks.
Yes.
The quarterbacks, he's sad. Maybe that's why.
Yeah.
Those tackles.
Coming up next week on the podcast, the Larry Fitzgerald episode, because he deserves one in and of itself. But there you go. Check out all the great stuff going on at Clutch Points, and be sure to subscribe to the podcast. Any podcast app you use, just search for it there. And thanks, as always, to the fine folks at Blue Wire and BetOnline for all that they do. And thank you guys, as always, for listening. And we'll talk to you guys next time here on Establish the Past podcast.
For the ones standing guard, for the eagle-eyed, for the knights in shining armor, and for all those who support them, we are Grainger, your experienced safety partner, offering supplies and solutions for every industry, committed to helping keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call, clickgrainger.com/safety, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.